Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast preview show. We're still in the Mountain Division and moved on. I believe this will be maybe this may or may not be happy 4th of July to everybody. We'll see. Not entirely sure, but how was your 4th of July, guys? Was it great or will it be great?
I will have already been on my way to Vegas by now.
To get your season tickets for the Las Vegas something hockey
team?
Oh,
dude, I am so excited about that. I have no idea. No, more like to stay in Vegas for a couple days before I leave the country.
Yeah, that's why recording's early. That's why I'm thinking may or may not be 4th of July. So MWCConnection.com is our website in case you're wondering who these babbling people are. We're going to talk about Wyoming Cowboys Facebook. Like I said, I want 3,000 likes before the season begins, before that Hawaii Cow game in Australia. We're getting close, so Mountain West Connection, MWC Connection on Twitter. And if you're lucky, I'll get in a fight with you on our website and say I'm right and you're wrong every time.
Except he's always wrong, so, especially about ham and kettle corn. Hey, what other things do you hate, Jeremy?
Should we introduce Matt Kennerly before you and me just babble on and say Yes. Hello?
I'm good. You two can handle this conversation on your own.
No, Matt, we need to tell Jeremy about how wrong he is about things.
Oh, he already knows.
No, here, honestly, I know we discussed about him months ago, and it's still a thing, but tell me, no, seriously, I want people to send, easiest way is probably Twitter, MWC Connection, send me a place to get good ham. I'm not joking, and I think Chris told me before, was it the Honey Baked Ham Store, is that what it's called, or what's the ham store?
Yeah, Boston Honey.
I don't like Boston Market, whatever, no, not them. Isn't there a ham store around Christmas that's always around?
I'm sure.
I know the name, but I can't think of it.
I don't know. Dude, you're making me think now.
But send me where to get good ham, whether it's a restaurant, a recipe, I will try it. I'm not, like I said, I'll eat a ham sandwich, which is kind of weird, but I don't like kettle corn that much, and I don't like cotton candy, but apparently cotton candy to dislike is more acceptable. What's your stance on the cotton candy?
I'm actually not a huge fan of cotton candy.
What about you, Matt? You good?
Cotton candy's all right.
Part of the reason I dislike it for years, when I first moved out to Utah with my brother, that was kind of his business. He was kind of a caterer, concession, went to events and stuff. I would make cotton candy all day. That's all I did, and it's just a mess when you make it.
So speaking of cotton candy and puff opponents, let's talk about Wyoming.
Oh!
That's how you segue.
Boom. Wyoming Cowboys.
Boom. Headshot.
There you go. Sorry. Let's see. Who's Ben Mitchum. Sorry if we offended you on that. I was trying to think of a good Wyoming guy.
Look up. You had to physically look up who wrote for our site, who wrote about Wyoming. Oh, my goodness. Did I just break the podcast?
I don't know. Did you? Anyway, so
are we still going good here?
I think, yeah, we are. Matt, can you hear Jeremy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Just making sure. It broke up a buy-in, so I missed half of that, so that's good. All right, and maybe if Zencastr works the way it should, I'll catch that when I put this together later. So, Wyoming Cowboys, let's start with this. What is this, Craig Bull's third season in Laramie?
I believe so, yes.
We believe so. We're ready. We're really ready for this to happen.
No, this is year three, so, because year one, I think it was 1-11 or 2-10, and then last year was 1-11. So this year has got to be the year, like...
Bowling?
Well, it doesn't have Craig to be bowling, but it has to show some significant improvement.
So where should we start off? Should we just go with the offense and start rocking and rolling from there, I guess? As I say that twice tonight for some reason.
Brian Hill, Brian Hill, Brian Hill, Brian Hill, Brian Hill. Are we done?
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
Good. I mean, if we're gonna start with running backs, though, I think it's worth noting that for a team that's kind of bottoming out and starting to really claw their way back out of the cellar, they have a lot of pretty decent running backs.
And think of this too, with the inexperience they had last year, look how good Brian Hill was running the ball. Now with four guys who have double digit starts, how much better will that running game be?
Quite possibly a lot better. Although the one thing I'd like to note is that so a lot of those sophomores and juniors are from Craig Bull's very, very, very first recruiting class, right? Mm-hmm. Or Dan Christensen's last class, either one. But look how many of those guys touch the 300 pounds mark.
Not enough.
One.
Yeah, not enough.
These guys are small and basically maneuverable. And it reminds me a lot about Air Force. So if you're talking about a heavy running game, and if you're going to do it without a chop block system, or not a chop block, sorry.
Chop block?
Because Air Force doesn't chop block.
Never. No, never.
But if you're talking about maneuverability, you have to be able to get guys out of the way quickly. Otherwise, you're going to get pushed over pretty quickly. And I would say that's my biggest problem with the offensive line.
Well, with their offensive line, if they're mimicking North Dakota State, they really need the big guys to do that, and they don't really have that.
I'm sorry, can you and Matt, can you and Jeremy hear each other? Okay, that tells me a lot. Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and get, you already said something, so Matt, why don't you go ahead and continue?
You talking to me?
No, never mind.
Sorry, it's being weird again.
All right. Yeah. Take five.
No, we can start. No, we got most of it on there. Just well, when I was about to.
I've got my phone ringing. Hold on, real quick.
Okay. Wait, what was that? All right, I'll edit this out as well. Okay, I'll have to listen to this. 318. Let's put a mark here. So the offensive line, yes, they're not very large. But one thing you want to. So with the offensive line, like you mentioned, Chris, they're not very large. And makes the Air Force like, I guess, a 280, 290. Doesn't Craig Bull want those 300-pound-plus guys he had at North Dakota State eventually at some point to just push people around with his up-to-tackle, veer-guard running type option play? Or not even option, but just a veer-tackle, tackle-left, tackle-right, guard-right, guard-left type of play?
Yeah, you would think so. But at the same time, that's where you kind of... that's where having that maneuverability versus just big guys sitting there and just blocking, that's where kind of different philosophies come into play.
Well, okay, so to that end, I do want to point out that when I was researching for this podcast, I ran across this news bit that was talking about the safety Andrew Wingard. And Bull had made a comment that, you know, because the state and the university are both investing in the program, that he was able to put on 15 pounds between last year and this year. I'm trying to look at what he was listed at in Bill C's thing. He was listed at 194, and Bull had mentioned that, you know, by the time the season starts, he could be up to 210. Ooh. So I imagine that that kind of, you know, strength and conditioning and, you know, putting on weight is something that'll come with time, so that, you know, the figures that we're all looking at right now, they might, I might expect that they probably want to be a little bit bigger by the time August rolls around.
It looks like 20 pounds of muscle back in March. You talk about Wingard with that. And I think because with Wyoming, they're like Utah State. They're getting money from the state to help out with either COA or just facilities or whatever, training table in general. So if that give these offensive linemen an extra 10 pounds each, that puts another, what, four or five people at the 300 pound mark.
Yeah, and that could make them a very formidable line for what they want to do, or what we assume they want to do.
Would you say they'd be able to bowl people over?
Yes, I would.
Ding! Number one. The first bull, not bullied pun, but a nice alternate version of that. So I think the line will be pretty good. The backups, they have some experience for the final two spots, or really the final one spot. The looks like the right guard spot's up for grabs, essentially. That might go to Caden Jackson, but with if that line, the experience is actually pretty experience with one all-conference player back from last year with Chase Rollier there, and then with Hill and Wick, two experienced running backs. And again, Brian Hill is probably, him and Donald Pumphrey are, and well, there's a lot of good running backs in the conference, but Brian Hill, his explosiveness is pretty nuts for how many 200-plus yard games he can have. And so if we have a line, they have a good deep running game. I don't know what Joshua Tapscott will be as the third guy, but they don't need him to do too much. Give him, what, 50 carries a season, they'll be good. But quarterback's a big deal. It's if I'm correct, it's going to be Nick Smith to be the starting quarterback. He played a little bit last year, but didn't really do much of anything. Didn't have much attempts last year either to really show himself.
You just explained all of Wyoming's quarterback situation in a nutshell.
The 30 sacks from last year, that's also an issue.
I was just going to say, I had read that it was actually Josh Allen who a lot of people believe have the inside track to the starting job. You know, as we say everywhere else, you don't want to glean too much from a spring game. But he was 13 of 21 for 267 yards and a couple of scores.
We have quarterback controversy.
We do have a quarterback.
Shocker.
But it's also worth noting that Allen was also the starter last year before he got hurt. And then Kaufman came in and had a kind of an uneven year. If you look at the splits, you know, Kaufman last year was pretty good on first downs, okay on second downs, and then just really bad on third downs. But, you know, at some point, for as good as the running backs are, you can't run like 70-80% of the time. At some point, you're going to have to throw. And who is that guy going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Josh Allen started, you're absolutely right. Josh Allen started the year. And when he started the year, he started actually pretty well, 4 of 6 for 51 yards. So he was getting the ball fairly deep in that yards per attempt before he went down with injury. Who knows what would have happened if he was able to replicate his success throughout the course of the year. But if he's your guy, if he's your starter, what needs to be a realistic goal for Allen, for this Wyoming team to do something?
Well, this goes back and forth or hand in hand. They bring back nearly every receiving threat is back. Tanner Gentry was a touchdown machine 2 years ago. And he caught nearly over 2/3 of his passes. Jake Mulhart, they have their tight end back. Brian Hill caught, 20 receptions last year. They bring back, basically, outside of the two offensive linemen, they bring everything back. And the hope is that they have a healthy quarterback, whether it is, if it is Josh Allen who started last year, or maybe Nick Smith, but he didn't look all that impressive. He had 60 attempts to 6 sacks. It's like, come on. And then one more, if the offensive line is that experienced, last year they weren't. So I think it all comes together, obviously, if you think about it. But if the offensive line is more experienced, there's going to be fewer sacks. They have every receiver back from last year and their top two running backs back. I know Wick didn't play a ton last year, but we know what he's done years past. This offense, if they could have a competent passing game, and even if they give up 20 sacks, this offense was not going to be focused on Hill and Wick. more Hill so than Wick, but there's a potential it could be a more balanced offense than it has been, and maybe even actually decent overall.
Yeah, and to that end, I think Tanner Gentry staying healthy is going to be really critical for this team, because he, you know, despite the offensive problems that the Cowboys had last year, he was having a really good year before he got hurt. You know, he had 38 catches, but he had 702 yards, and he was kind of their big threat, averaging 12 and a half yards per target. And I think if this is the kind of offense that wants to pound the rock and then catch opposing defenses with play action or long passes over the top.
Oh, that's definitely there.
He's the guy that's going to do that, because, you know, Jake Mulhart's a big guy, but I can't imagine he's especially fast. So that probably makes him more of the possession receiver in this offense than somebody who can kind of get 40 yards down the field or anything like that. So if Gentry can stay healthy, I think he's already proven that he's very quietly one of the best wide receivers in the conference. But he's going to have to do it again to kind of help this offense step forward.
I think one of the most interesting pieces you just brought up is Mulhart being a 6'6", 216 as kind of more of a possession guy. But if you look at the receiving core, you had Mulhart, you had Gentry, and then you had Hollister. This Wyoming team likes to use big guys as possession guys, meaning they like to use their tight ends or wide receivers who act like tight ends. Absolutely right, being with having Hill do whatever he wants and opening that up so that, you know, they could do even more of that. Well, absolutely, having that dual threat is able to kind of go from old style ball to a little bit newer, but yet still retain that spirit of what Craig Bull wants to do.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be run first no matter what, because it's not just what Craig Bull did at North Dakota State, but you have one of the best running backs on the West Coast in Brian Hill. And so you're going to use him to your advantage. I think it comes down to really two things: fewer sacks and consistent quarterback play, because they had 11 interceptions overall last year, only 20 touchdowns, and not even barely over 2,000 yards. I think a fair assessment, 2,500 yards, about just over 200 a game is reasonable, I think, right in that range. And then, what, 8 interceptions to 20 touchdowns, maybe 20 to 8, because they had 18 last year with Coffin by himself. So I think that could be a realistic goal there. 200 yards per game, maybe, like I said, 20 touchdowns, 25 touchdowns max, and then like 8 picks. Not great, but that's okay. Improvement.
So here's an interesting stat. Last season, they only passed the 18 point threshold 5 times.
Oh, that's not good.
This season, you need to. You absolutely need to. They need to hit, for them to be having any remote success, you need to be passing that 21-point standard at least 7 times. And with this offense, coming back experience, I think they're able to do it. Matt?
I think, you know, depending on the opponent, it's doable. It really comes down to solving the quarterback issue, and then B, having that quarterback just be better in kind of crunch time situations. Because if you look at how their stats split in different ways throughout last year, you know, their passing offense was better in the first half than it was in the second half, and it got worse with every down. And if Wyoming wants to win more games this year, they have to be more consistent on third downs and late in games.
Yeah, that's something. I think part of it, we'll get to in defense, but I think experience is a big deal. Like, if you have an experienced quarterback, which they won't have, but I think with more players coming back who played last year, that's going to be a big bonus for them. But at some point, they do have to convert and score points, because in the conference, especially in the Mountain Division, Utah State probably will be able to score some points. You know, Boise State will. Air Force most likely will. Colorado State, whoever the quarterback may be, it's still undecided. They should have a pretty good offense. Everybody in the Mountain Division, New Mexico, everybody can score. So I doubt they're going to outscore these teams, but they can't be stuck in under 20 points every game and expect to win, especially with how bad their defense was last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And they lose, Like, let's just go to the defense. They lose Eddie Yarborough, who is a very good player, one of the best in the conference. And they lose this other guy who had four tackles for loss, four and a half. Should I pronounce his name in an attempt to make a fool of myself here?
No, let me do it. C-I-O-C, hala api api.
Bam.
Well done.
Well done.
Bravo.
Hala api api. Got to get all those vowels in for those American Samoan or Polynesian type names.
I will say somebody's been giving me private lessons, but that's not true.
If there's a value, got to say, that's pretty much what it is.
So even though they're losing those two guys, they might still have the next Eddie Yarborough along that defensive line. You know, Carl Granderson's a big guy, and he's another one of those guys that I think they're expecting to put on a little more weight as the fall rolls along.
And a Craig Bull recruit.
Yeah, and even with part-time duty, you know, he still managed to collect, you know, 28 and a half tackles, six tackles for loss, which is, you know, pretty good. And he's a big guy at 6'6". So if he can improve his strength, you know, he's a guy that I think could be a force as a pass rusher and stopping the run.
He could. Here's an interesting number here. He had 4.5% tackles for the whole team. Yet six of those were for a loss. So when he played, he was, like I said, he didn't play. He played every game, but not a ton. When he was in the ball game, he was pretty much making plays.
Yeah, I found Corn Nation's preview of Wyoming, and they said that he put on at least 25 pounds over the summer. So he's hoping to get to 235, which could make him a really interesting, really rangy pass rusher.
So how much weight is Sidney Malu'alu going to put up if he has 300 last year, their nose tackle?
That's a good question, but that's a big dude in the middle who could cause a lot of problems.
I know. That's what you need. Like, I don't care if he has 14 tackles, and if you're that big nose tackle, it's like I mentioned with Vince Wilfork, you're just a giant dude. Just lean on somebody. It'll take 1.5 guys to get you out of the way.
You'll be able to knock him over like a pin.
Pretty much. Oh, bowling pin?
Yes.
Ding, number two.
It took a while for you to get there.
I think it's our internet delay.
I think beyond those two guys is really where you start getting into dicey territory, especially because Wyoming had a lot of problems stopping the run last year. And again, this is a spot where you may have a few guys who are in that defensive line rotation who are undersized. Guys like Connor Kane and Chase Appleby, who are right around 250 pounds, are they going to be able to hold up? And if they can't, like, who are they going to, you know, who's coming up behind them to kind of take the pressure off?
Well, and along that though, I mean, look, outside of Yarbrough, Hala Api Api, and Olive, I mean, most of those guys were underclassmen last year. Granderson, Malu'alu, Kane, Prosser. Those guys were all freshmen playing significant time within, and not starting, but playing significant time within a Bulls defense. And so they've learned, they've grown. I think they got better over the year. Obviously, that's how they beat Wyoming at the very end. But
or UNLV.
They beat themselves. but, you know, I think we shouldn't overlook the fact that youth and experience are starting to balance out.
That's a good
true, point. But they're also terrible last year as well defensively. That's a problem. It's like, yes, you bring back all this talent from your, well, not talent, but starting or experience. But if it's bad experience, this not always the case, but you have to take this in thought. Yes, you have, say you have eight starters back, or what Wyoming has pretty much, eight starters back, it looks like, nine starters back. But they're terrible. So are these guys going to make the leap to be better, or is it still the next bunch of crappy players who might be just marginally better or just are about the same? So you can't just say just because you started 12 games last year, you're great. May not be the case. But I think with Craig Bull there, like if this strength and conditioning thing, look, it seems legit. Like I looked up a couple things right now, like this guy, 20 pounds of muscle. This guy gained weight. Matt looked at coordination. This guy, Gang Granderson, put on 20 pounds. He's 6'6", 200, defensive end, too light. He's up to 230 almost. That's going to be a big deal, and that might be a difference for them getting closer to being competitive at 500 record over the year, or at least in conference play. And then linebackers, remember DJ May was a converted running back. So he was still learning the position last year, and he had almost 60 tackles, had 10 pass breakups as a linebacker, and they bring back all four of their starting linebackers last year, including Lucas Waccia, 71 tackles. So
waka 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 waka.
You just got to remember that experience. Hopefully, just it includes an increase in talent production.
And let's not forget the German transfer Eric Enciocha, right?
Is he yes. Is he Mike's brother?
Yeah, Mike's brother. He didn't do much last year, but he was solid.
I mean,
he played 11 games.
I mean, am I crazy to think that if they can find a reliable defensive line rotation, that this linebacking core could be pretty good?
No, you're correct.
To me, they kind of strike me as Utah State light. Like, I mean, they don't have anybody on the same level as a Vigil brother or a Kyler Fackrell, but over the past several years, they've been able to churn out some pretty decent linebackers. And I'm thinking that, you know, a guy like Lucas Waka, if he's not constantly on his heels trying to run down running backs at the second level, you know, he could be very quietly an all-conference player, couldn't he?
Very possibly. And then with DJ May, like I said, he's learning the position. He's played for a little bit, but he's been running back. So if he takes the next level, they could have, yeah, I don't see, that's not out of the question to say this crew could be, well, I don't want to go extremely high, but like you said, Utah State light, what's that put them? At least average in the Mountain West or average in the Mountain Division, where if you're average in the Mountain Division, you're going to be pretty good because that division's more difficult. And they all played last year. And then they have talent back. It's just, I think the big concern is look at their reserves. Outside of Lewis Bach, the next four guys have not played a game of college football.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, they had a lot of young guys, I guess, in spring practice who were getting a lot of reps for more of the veteran players who were recovering from injuries or suspensions or whatever like that. So they're going to need to find some guys behind these, you know, starters, because if this year plays out like last year, they had to deal with a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball. And I think if they want to be competitive, that's not something they can really afford. They need to see if guys like Logan Wilson or Jalen Ortiz can step up and be contributors, at least on a part-time basis.
Well, that's what I forgot to mention. Yeah, Jalen Ortiz coming from UCLA. And so if he steps in, maybe he's a guy to take over, at least be, he's played college football there in the Pac-12. And
well, and you remember that in the secondary. So the secondary was really, really bad.
Oh, geez. It was awful.
But you also had a sophomore, and they were pretty much all sophomores last year, except for Priest.
They were freshmen. All freshmen last year.
Freshmen, sorry. They were all freshmen last year. You had a freshman lead in tackles. Andrew Wingard, the free safety, had 102.5 tackles last year.
That tells me your defensive front was terrible.
He was absolutely a freshman All-American, wasn't he?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
If not, he should have been.
But, I mean, the secondary only was able to produce 4 interceptions last year. So they need to improve on that number. And the only way that improves is if the linebacking core and the defensive ends improve, allowing the number of tackles to be less, more of a pass rush, and more interceptions.
Yeah. I mean,
here's an interesting.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I was going to do something different. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's not just the fact that they didn't make a lot of plays as far as interceptions go. They weren't especially adept at even breaking up passes. They were next to last in the conference with just 30 in 12 games. But I think that's the kind of thing that can improve, you know, because these guys have more experience under their belts.
I agree. I think this is the era where they'll get better. Let's play a game real quick. I got two questions for you guys. Where do you think they ranked in yards per game last year in the conference?
Defense?
Passing defense.
Last. Dead last.
What about you, Matt?
Probably something weird, like 8.
They're actually top half. Gave up only 196 yards per game, which was 5th in the league.
Interesting. I have a problem believing that.
So did I. Okay, but here's where it gets weird. Where do you think they range in yards per attempt allowed?
Over 10.
Probably last.
Yeah, last. Barely edging out New Mexico. 8.5 yards per attempt and 23 touchdowns, which was at the bottom as well, which I think, what, tied for last with a couple teams?
That tells me bad field position. Like, punts just went horribly.
That's part of it. There's field position issue, but it also tells me a couple things. You can't extrapolate everything from it, but a couple things. There's big plays against the defense. Touchdowns were given up by quite a bit. Like Matt mentioned, no pass breakups or very few. Only 5 interceptions in the yards per game. You're right, Chris, probably bad possession. But also, if you look at the numbers that like you said, with a wing guard having 102 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, he had to help out a lot in the running game. And so I'm wondering if there was a fitness issue a little bit, where if the defensive backs have to come and help on the running game every so often, they're going to get gashed and get burned and not be able to cover as well. And we know the defense overall was terrible, but I was looking at that scene there, gave up less than 200 yards per game, which there's a lot of factors, but I just thought that was kind of odd that there was that few yards, but probably, like you said, field position. And then I also think the running game was much a bigger deal against their defenses, even with Eddie Yarborough there. So, yeah, but I think the secondary can be pretty good though.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of that last year was symptomatic of the fact is, like, who needs to pass when you can run?
Exactly.
But they were also, if I'm reading this, one of Bill C's advanced statistics correctly, they were dead last year in sack rate on passing downs, which I believe I forget what he defined that as exactly, but if you're curious, you can look it up. They were dead last in the entire nation. So if they can even get back to below average as opposed to dead last in the nation, that could make a world of difference for the secondary.
Well, of course, yeah. I think that it's hard for the defense to be worse. They just need to be. I think a couple things would help them tremendously. I guess part of it, the getting a hand on the ball and a few more interceptions would help, but I think sacks. They only had 10 sacks last year. And they lost 7 of those with Eddie Yarborough. I think that has to improve. And then I don't know. It's just overall they have to be better. And it goes back to me saying, well, everybody's back, but are they really going to be better? I think the only position for sure that'll be like the improvement you'll see quite a bit is the secondary, where you're starting three freshmen and a sophomore last year. And you played 5 freshmen last year and 1 sophomore in your rotation. Really 6 if you count Adam Pilipali there, who played a little bit, but saw time in 11 games. It's just, I'm wondering if Craig Bowles, like, you're my guys, you're going in there, you're going to play, and we'll just take the lumps, and next year you'll be ready to go because you played a full season as the guys. And then they bulk up, have the coaching, they have the confidence, they have experience, they've played, and then they'll be ready to go this year, and they may make a big leap where they're kind of like New Mexico did last year, where they moved up from pretty bad to, hey, we're not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so do we want to get to games first, or do we want to go through Twitter questions first?
Can I just say one thing before we get to either of those?
Go ahead.
Of course.
Because I think here, more than other places, special teams also matters.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Because there's a couple of interesting things. The first thing is that they're bringing in a true freshman, which I believe they expect to be their starter week one. Trying to remember his name, Cooper Roth from Longmont, Colorado. You know, their kicking game was not especially good last year. Tristan Bailey was only 2 of 8. And if Roth can be at least adequate, that could take a lot of pressure off of the offense. You know, feeling like they need to get into the end zone all the time because they don't have somebody who can get them 3 points from like 20, 30 yards out. The other thing is that they've got a basketball player as a kick returner now.
Oh, that's right. Oh, and wide receiver, correct?
Yes. Austin Conway. It's not the kind of thing that you normally think about when you think about basketball players playing football. Because he was a point guard rather than a power forward, I believe. And mm-hmm. he got some work during the spring game, if I'm not mistaken. He did. And I think he had like 50, 60 total yards, but they're expecting him to be a factor as a kick returner, which is kind of interesting.
That makes sense as a guard, a smaller guy, probably speedy. I'm wondering if they want to give up, not allow DJ Bay if he's playing linebacker still to, or is going to be, but lessen that load for him and not to worry about that.
But I was going to say, that's another one of those things that if they can improve at least a little bit, you know, that could be the difference in any given week, you know.
They also have decent punting. Like, their punting was pretty good last year. Like, how much they got inside the 20 touchbacks. It's, if you have four touchbacks, whatever, but they did pretty good inside the 20, 18 times. Like, almost half of the punts were in that area. Probably want a few more than that. I guess that's pretty good. I don't know. Does that sound good to you guys? 40% inside the 20 or touchback?
That's not bad.
It's not horrible.
It just seems like it's okay. So, like, they have that advantage there. And I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, the receiver playing or point guard playing receiver return. I don't expect him to be the guy or some huge improvement. But Wyoming needs improvement in nearly across the board in a lot of spots. And if he just helps 3% at this area, they're going to be that much better. So we'll see how it goes. But that's kind of what they need. Everything needs to be better. And he might add a little bit to that, but let's get to games.
Are we ready for games or Twitter questions?
Let's look at some of the questions. We'll do a few. Do you have some you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I've got the whole list up here, both the original and later. So we'll leave that one till after. Does the state have internet yet? I'm guessing yes.
I can confirm that they do.
Thanks for listening, Wyoming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. They could listen to this.
That question goes with that question. Okay, so then we'll save that question for the end. Damn, you have a lot of hate. We kind of already answered this actually in our preview, but defensive backs were all freshmen last year. Can they make the leap from year one to year two and basically put on an island so the front seven can rush the quarterback? I think we're all in agreement that yes, they can.
Yes, I agree.
And will Wyoming find a quarterback who can stretch the field? I'm still not convinced that they can stretch the field, but they can at least give more possession.
Well, if Tanner Gentry stays healthy, then there's a good possibility.
Matt?
Well, Josh Allen's he's actually a Central Valley guy, so I'm rooting for him to succeed.
There you go.
And what about this? Does Brian Hill gain any national attention this season?
He should.
Are we going to start throwing Brian Hill for Heisman this year?
No.
Brian Hill for Offensive Player of the Year?
Okay. Well, we could do that.
Can we settle for that?
Yeah, I think we can settle for that.
Are you okay with that? Because Rippon won that last year, Matt or Chris.
I'm fine with that. Wait, you mean it wasn't Pumphrey?
Oh no, sorry. He went quarterback. I apologize. No, excuse me.
Pumphrey.
Sorry. Bobblehead Pumphrey. That's coming out. Get your bobblehead with Aztec tickets if you want.
I could get Aztec season tickets this year.
Interesting.
I'm not sure I'll keep that.
How about we just get you a pass for the game if they allow us to?
Maybe. Okay.
We'll see. Quarterbacks wait and see. That's all we can really tell at the moment.
Games.
So if you look at Bill Connolly's like projection, they're favored in one game. And that's against an FCS team. Who is it? UC Davis they play this year, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Who were bad last year.
Yeah. Outside of that, have you guys looked at what the percentage is for win probability for all these games?
They're not bad.
I think they're bad. They're not favored. Yeah. They're not favored against Eastern Michigan, even though they lost to them last year at home, but still.
It's kind of the epitome of, so you're saying there's a chance.
Which is what we always say on this podcast.
We'll see. Well, here's your schedule. They open up the year against Northern Illinois.
At home.
Yes, it's a home game. And it's not the same Northern Illinois as in the past, but they're still a pretty good team. And this is the first chance we'll see what Wyoming can do against playing. This is kind of not the bar game. There's other games, but this will be a good barometer of where they're at in the year, because NIU will compete for the MAC division title, compete for the MAC conference title overall. If they can hang around and do something decent and not get humiliated or embarrassed, that'll kind of let us know how, where we should, our expectations should be for Wyoming.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of a big test in the sense that, you know, until their last few games last year, the Huskies were one of the better running teams in the MAC. And so that's and that's one of the those big questions that we have about these Cowboys is, can they stop the run? Especially because, you know, Drew Hare and company are going to run from that spread offense. They're going to run a lot of zone read. And it's probably going to present a pretty severe challenge, which is why I think, I mean, we talked about Northern Illinois a little bit with the San Diego State podcast. And I believe I had the Huskies winning that game, and I have them winning this one as well.
I feel like we've talked about Northern Illinois enough that they are like an honorary Mountain West connection team.
Remember?
I swear, we've talked about them at least three times in the last...
Well, here's real quick. They won the... We have, really quick, though, just so Wyoming fans, they NIU's won the MAC West six straight years. In the preseason power rankings, they're probably in the magazines that have been flowing in. They're not expected to do that. They're supposed to be a probably fourth or fifth best MAC team. I still don't see Wyoming winning, but this will be a game that'll pique my interest to see how well they are going to be for the year. And if they are going to win, I think Brian Hill can be the guy to lead them to victory if he does something amazing.
Here we go.
I was going to say, and they still give the Cowboys basically a 1-in-3 chance of winning this game. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, aren't you kind of psyched about that?
I think so.
I'm doing it. I'm using it early.
Stupid upset pick.
You're in Laramie, which is approximately, what, 7,800 feet up? They say it on their football field.
7,220, isn't it?
What?
7,720, right?
7,720.
Yeah, whatever.
That's really high altitude. Northern Illinois, I think, sits in a really low altitude. You're talking about a run-heavy team, and we're going to get to see quarterbacks in action, possibly Josh Allen doing something. You're going to see the hype starting to build up, hopefully, for this Wyoming team. I think it's an early season win.
Interesting. All right, so we'll move on. That's a good thing to note. At Nebraska, no chance?
No chance.
6%.
Even though... Well played. I remember last time it was 34-31. They nearly beat... I think they had... who's the quarterback?
Last 2 years.
Smith. It was 3 years ago when they had Brett Smith. Wasn't he the QB where they nearly upset Nebraska?
Yep.
I don't see it happening, but I just want to point that out. There's a couple players from that team. Even though Nebraska, what were they, 6-7 last year, went to a bowl game at 5-7, got the win. Let's just say don't get embarrassed. Is that where the baseline should be? Don't embarrass the conference?
That's fair.
Is that going to be an achievable goal?
Yeah, I see a 3-4 touchdown loss here, but I see Brian Hill getting national attention.
Doesn't he still hold the all-time Mountain West all-purpose yard record?
I think so.
And when he's a freshman, like 360 total yards?
I think so.
Okay. He needs to be, because there's so many good backs in the conference. Donald Pumphrey, Jeremy McNichols, and Brian Hill. Even last year, he had Tyler Irving in there. We'll see. This is an early 10 a.m. game local time. That could be a little bit of an issue. But then again, it's 11 for Nebraska on ESPN2, so that's some good exposure. So wake up, have some breakfast, and tune in early so you don't see the score getting out of hand before you're ready for lunch or something. But there's no chance. So UC Davis, victory. Can we just go victory and move on, or is there something we need to add?
No, that's a victory and move on.
Yeah.
I want to say that for Eastern Michigan, but they lost to them last year at home.
They're going to the factory.
Ypsilanti? Is that how you say that town?
Ypsilanti?
Ypsilanti at Reinerson Stadium. Eastern Michigan is so bad.
Have you seen that field?
Maybe. Isn't it like alternating green or something?
No, they have gray turf, and it looks like watching the Grapes of Wrath when they play football, like the old
Dust Bowl.
James Fondle movie. Yeah, it's like literally one of the most depressing things I saw last year. They are not very good, and if they don't win this game, I would have some very serious concerns if I were a Wyoming fan.
I thought there was concerns last year for them losing to Eastern Michigan.
I think I remember watching some of that game because
it was a blowout. It was a 48-29 loss. Punishment.
Yeah,
could be.
I don't see why Wyoming shouldn't beat Eastern Michigan. It just needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if this is kind of that prove it game that I think Chris was talking about a few minutes ago. It's like if you want to be taken seriously, beat Eastern Michigan, like please.
And not only that, Eastern Michigan right now is considering dropping down to FCS. There were some rumors about that.
It's not going to happen, but there's a movement from, I think, the Smarty Pants Academia people who want to do that. But if it's being talked about, things aren't going well, whether it happens or not. Because aren't they basically Idaho level, Chris, pretty much?
They're probably worse than Idaho.
No, they're worse than Idaho.
Okay. All right, so they get into conference play. So this stretch is a pretty big deal. These first two games, like, we could do all the bullying puns we want. They should be at 2 wins at this point. That's probably my ceiling for them. But these two conference games could set the stage. At CSU, hosting Air Force, if they want a bowl game, they probably need to beat one of those two teams. If we're going to predict, which one of the two teams do you think they have a chance to beat? Remember, at Hughes or at home versus Air Force?
Oh, man. Pick your poison, right?
Very true, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, both of those matchups are bad matchups for them just because of the fact that both of those teams know how to run the football and basically did pretty much that in their matchups last year. And to me, I guess gun to my head, if I had to choose one, I would probably say Air Force, but I don't
because they beat them 2 years ago.
Yeah, just because I don't know how big the passing game is going to be, if they're going to be able to hit on as many big plays as they did throughout last year. So, I mean, if Nate Romine is having an off game, to me, that's kind of their window for making it interesting. But I don't have a great feeling that that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I would lean same team, Air Force, even though the Rams, you'll hear this every show because we haven't gotten to the actual fall camp, but QB up in the air, but Mike Bobo, and then running the ball, and who they have losing right top Rashard Higgins, they're going to not be as pass heavy. And Rams are going to be a pretty good team, even though that's weird to see the bronze boot not late in the year. It's freaking October 1st.
Chris? Yeah, but they still have a rivalry game at the end of the year. I would say that New Mexico and Wyoming is as much of a rivalry as Colorado State, New Mexico, even though the bronze boot is definitely on the line. I mean, at least there is some sort of rivalry at the end of the year.
So what about you, Chris? Who are you taking?
I'm still taking Colorado State at this point, even though, and I'm not optimistic about Colorado State this year. I just think, well, you know what?
Uh-oh. Twice?
Uh-oh. It might be.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, people what they want.
Here's the thing. I already wasted it on one. I already have them at 3-1 at this point, which is shown improvement. I really want them to hit that fourth win at Colorado State, but I think that there's one person more than likely they could do it. And I'm not sure they're going to get there.
Okay, fair enough. All right, they have a bye week. And then schedule gets pretty tough there. At Nevada, host Boise, host Utah State, at UNLV, host Aztecs, and go on the road to the Lobos. Is Nevada the only winnable game on that stretch?
At UNLV.
Really? You think Rebels are going to succumb to another loss?
I don't think they will succumb. I just think that it's possible.
Winnable?
Yeah, it's a winnable game.
Sorry, Aggies fans.
Oh!
Yes! Thank you. You had my thought there.
If I'm looking for one stupid upset pick in that stretch, that's the one that I'm taking. And I had to go back.
Nuts.
And I had to go back and look at how that game unfolded last year. And that was one of those games where, you know, the pass defense was really, really bad. You know, Kent Myers was 16 of 19 for like 300 yards. But, you know, some of the other things, you know, they didn't have to work especially hard. They did win time of possession against the Aggies. You know, they did force a turnover. They didn't turn the ball over at all, but they weren't able to get a passing game going. And I think that that's what really doomed them in that game and a lot of others. If they can get a functional passing game, I have some lingering questions that, you know, we'll get into at some point about the Aggies defense maybe taking a step back with losing so many key pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think if you're going to be able to beat any one secondary in that stretch, it's probably that one.
Yeah, because they've also lost, I think, three guys to the NFL in the past couple years as well in the secondary?
Yeah.
They have Brian Sweet and the guy at the Rams and somebody else, I believe.
Maurice Alexander, right?
Yeah, Mo Alexander, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, if the Aggies take a step back in their pass defense, I think that's the kind of thing where Wyoming could, you know, control the clock, make a couple big plays, and pull off an upset. And that's what I have.
I think that's possible, but I also think on the other side, I think Utah State's offense is going to be much better this year. So we'll see. I got to go Nevada because I just think that's the most logical win. It's after a bye. Nevada... This should be a pretty interesting game on the ground with James Butler versus Brian Hill running the game. We'll see what Nevada's offense really is at this point with the new OC and new coach and all that type of stuff going on. UNLV wouldn't surprise me, but also these are both road games too, so it's like how much do we trust Wyoming on the road?
So I was with Matt right here, and I didn't want to say it, but Utah State was my other potential upset pick. Just because they lost so many pieces on defense. I said UNLV is winnable, but obviously I said in the UNLV preview that I think Mark Sanchez's teams have improved way too much this year. Outside of that, they're not going
to... What about New Mexico? What about the Lobos?
Very possible.
I will say
even... They'll give San Diego State a challenge. They're definitely not going to win, but they'll give them a challenge.
I think if they do ball control with Brian Hill and Sean Wick, that's at least for a part of the game, that could be a possibility. Part of the game.
To me, both of those matchups just scream that, you know, one team's strength versus another team's weakness. And that comes back to that big question that we all have about whether they're going to improve against the run. Because you're looking at two of the best running offenses in the conference.
Yeah, if we go that route, Boise State will have a good running attack. Utah State should be with Devontae Mays there. Lobos for sure, Aztecs.
I'll be honest, Devontae Mays isn't a great running attack. He's a good running attack, but it's not.
Well, no, I agree. I think he came on strong. He came on like halfway through last year of him actually performing well. So I'm thinking he might take the next step. But they would be, out of those teams I mentioned, they would be at the bottom. Like, they'd be behind Aztecs, behind New Mexico, behind Boise, and probably even behind Nevada.
And San Jose State.
They don't play San Jose State.
Okay, fine.
I'm just saying, like, they'll have a pretty good running attack. It won't be great, but it won't be terrible. It'll be, because again, if their rush defense is that bad, you don't need to be a great runner. You have to be just a pretty good runner to have great success versus Wyoming defense, potentially, from what we saw last year and what we will see this year.
So that takes us to the end of the season.
What's your record, Chris? Are you going bowling or not bowling?
Well, that now also takes us to these Twitter questions. Will they win more than four games this season, Matt?
No, I have them at 3-9.
Do we have what their over under is?
I do not know what the over under is. Bill C has them at 4.2.
Well, I'm looking at the Vegas over under.
I also have them at 3-9.
So you have them start 3-1 and lose the final eight games? Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, fans are not going to like you one bit.
I'm sure.
I guess it can't be worse than me saying 2-10 for Fresno State, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jeremy,
The over under here. Let's see, it's pulling up.
What is your win total?
So, Matt, you say say that again.
Matt and I both say 3-9.
Yeah.
Okay, so their over under is 3.5.
So we're both taking the under.
Taking the under, pretty close. I think because I think Eastern Michigan and UC Davis is 2. Oh man, am I going to do this again? I don't want to do it because I like Brian Hill so much.
Somebody's got to lose.
Somebody has to be last place because I remember last year, me and Chris, we were discussing not just us, but there's other people as well. Every team in the Mountain Division could go to a bowl game. Like, that wasn't just us talking about it. We did bring it up, and then we see other people saying, hey, Wyoming, New Mexico, Air Force, everybody.
It was a possible thing.
It was until Wyoming decided not to show up on defense.
Never forget, if we pick your team to finish last, it's just because we're totally biased against them.
Yeah, we haven't brought that up in a while. Yes, we are against your team. Insert team here. We both like you and hate you at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you're stalling, Jeremy. What are you calling?
I'm vamping. I'm not stalling.
I'm not making a political joke here, but I was going to say something about having
a sit-in? Sit-in filibuster? No. Sorry, Cowboys. 2-10.
That joke is needed by the time this podcast comes out.
Jeez, I need to be in hiding.
You at least have a cabin up in the woods.
I do have one that's, I'm not going to say where it is, but I do have access to that. So it does need a snowmobile during winter and football season. So, but you guys said 3 wins. Where's the win? Like UC Davis and Eastern Michigan? I don't see any other wins. Like if I'm going to be forced to equal 3 wins with you guys, I might just say New Mexico. Maybe, but even then, I'm not confident. No, I'm not doing it. I'm going 2-10.
Watch them surprise us all and go 6-6.
So then we are all taking the under because the win total from Vegas is 3.5.
Yeah,
that's correct.
We are all taking the under.
Again, let's be positive here. Let's not be a downer because we've been accused of being downers too often at times. If I'm going to say they improve defensively, they find the quarterback, things go well, I might peak at 5 wins, maybe. Like,
oh no, absolutely not. I think their ceiling is bowling.
Ding.
And they might strike the Hawaii Bowl.
Because you're probably more high than beating Utah State, like you said.
Well, it's a matter of this. Everything goes absolutely perfect. By the way, they only had, what, 6 interceptions last year? Not even?
5.
5 interceptions. You're talking about turnover luck. You're talking about everything going perfectly for them. I see Northern Illinois, UC Davis, Eastern Michigan, Colorado State getting that bronze boot back. Nevada, Utah State, or UNLV. One of those two. That's ceiling.
Yeah, I mean,
true. They were
maybe a 7th with New Mexico.
They were minus 11 turnover margin last year.
Yeah, it can't get much worse than that.
Okay, if we're if things, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I still think they'd be.
Say that again.
What's your ceiling?
I guess I'm closer to what Jeremy is thinking because I'm just, again, I don't want to be too rosy with all these questions surrounding the defense. You know, if they can take a step forward, they're still going to get challenged by those teams that have really defined strengths in the conference. Like, they're going to be tested at home by Air Force and Boise, probably no matter what, and San Diego State for that matter. But I think if they can
if they can rebound on offense, they could pull an upset or two on the road because it's not quite as unforgiving as their home slate is late in the year.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Like, realistically, Nevada could be a win. Even though how much I like New Mexico, that might be a win. Even UNLV, I know there's all road games, but that's three there. If I'm going extremely optimistic, I'd probably go five wins, because even with NIU down, I don't see them beating NIU. Might be close, but I just think they'll come up. If things go well for them, they'll be close to bowling like that. I think five wins is my ceiling for them this year. And then, but next year, things, different story, I think, in 2017.
I could get behind that.
All right. Was there any other Twitter questions, Chris, you saw floating around?
No, that goes back to, are they going bowling? And if so, which bowl?
Whatever the last place, the Arizona Bowl. If they go to a bowl game, it's the Arizona Bowl game, but I don't see that happening.
Is there a bowling alley in Laramie somewhere?
No, but why not?
No, what they'll do, that's a ding for bowling, but that's probably the best bowling joke all night. So, well, I think we'll end with that. There's not much more we can say. We're going to end with the bowling alley joke, and that's where they'll be in first week of December, going for the turkey for the triple strikes or trying to bowl 300 or something. But that's our show for tonight. Thanks for listening, and hope it sounds well, because I have to do some more major editing because my internet's terrible. Well, who should we discuss next week? We only have a couple teams left before we wrap up, and the season's actually getting much closer.
Let's do Colorado State.
Colorado State, absolutely.
We'll do the Rams. We know there's a large Rams contingent who either like us or hate us, but when we write something or speak about them, they show up. So thanks for showing up at our website, mwcconnection.com, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, where else are we at? Did I miss one? iTunes. Yeah, the big one, I guess.
Final question. What else do you hate that we can tell you you're wrong about?
I was going to avoid that. Let's say this. Here's what I am definitely correct about. The Burger King cheesy mac and cheese things, Cheetos. Did you guys see that?
Oh, God. What?
It's on my. I replied to it on Twitter. Let me put a link in it really quick. But this very well might be discontinued by the time this podcast drops. So I'll put a link to this tweet in the article, in the article, the show notes, whatever. But it's basically a macaroni and cheese infused Cheeto sold at Burger King.
Yeah.
Have you seen? Is there a 7-Eleven in your parts of the area, guys?
Yes, dude.
Have you seen the Dorito stuffed mac and cheese?
I don't go to 7-Eleven to eat.
No, I'm just saying, if you see, I know, not to eat, but I mean, have you seen that there? No. Okay, I get drinks and crap. That's my nearest gas station, so I get stuff like that there. But they have like mac and cheese on the inside. It's basically Cheeto flavored on the outside, like kind of a deep fried thing. So, do you guys get that photo yet? Did you click on that link? I want your instant reaction.
Let's see here.
You can't see it, but I'm recoiling in horror.
Oh, God, why? Oh, what is this? Why?
Booze.
I would rather have the double down from KFC than this.
Why would you even think? No.
I'd rather wrap up this podcast right about now.
Hey, there you go.
Do I get back a decent graces for not liking something that everybody should hate?
Yes.
Yes. All right. And I still contend kettle corn is
5 stars on every platform. And just exactly. Tell us what you agree with, how those things look horrible.
Yes, that's what we want.
Jeremy is.
Exactly. Apparently apparently Aztecs fans aren't happy with me either, but that's always going to happen. But I like how it is. About a year or two ago, we had so much love for San Diego State. Apparently, we hate them now. But like we say, we're biased against your team. And I don't even have a team in this thing. So your team. So that's why I think it's pretty funny. But that's our show for tonight. Like I said, mwcconnection.com, iTunes, subscribe, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Google Play, every podcast format we're probably out there. If you have a Zune, see if you can download us on a Zune and let us know if you have one of those things that still work. But that's our show. We're talking Colorado State next weekend. And